Let's pray together. So, Father, we do ask that you open our hearts as we reflect upon our Bible reading from Mark this morning. Please turn our hearts towards you. Deepen our faith and our discipleship, we pray. Amen. Well, please do be seated. So we're continuing in our series in Mark. And this is the apparent problem. Because we've been working our way through Mark's Gospel, and it does seem to all start off so great, doesn't it? Jesus arrives as the long-expected Messiah. He announces the kingdom of God is near. He says, repent and believe the good news. And with that, people respond. As he calls those first disciples, we see them follow him. He starts to heal people. He heals lots of people. He casts out evil. His message is wonderful. I have come to forgive sins and to call sinners. And he does. We see him calling sinners and outcasts. He calls Levi the tax collector. He heals the leper. He cleanses him. And so it all looks so exciting, doesn't it? Here is the kingdom of God arriving in Jesus. A new age is dawning. Crowds flock to him. And yet at the same problem, something just doesn't feel right, does it? The religious leaders of the day, instead of endorsing Jesus as the fulfillment of everybody's hopes and dreams, they reject Jesus. And we think, what's that all about? It seems to be that Jesus doesn't fit with how they hoped their Messiah would be. And so when Jesus heals a man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath, the Pharisees plot together with their arch enemies, the Herodians, to kill Jesus. We saw that in chapter 3, verse 6. And a few verses later in chapter 3, we come across the teachers of the law. And they're now accusing Jesus of being in league with the devil. Suddenly it doesn't seem to be so positive, does it? Why are all these people reacting like this against Jesus? So we try to cheer ourselves up and say, well, it's not that bad. We've still got crowds following Jesus. They're flocking to him. But then it becomes apparent, as we've seen, that their main motive is a desire for purely physical healing. And we've said, yes, healing is important, but you're missing out on the main thing. You're missing out on what Jesus has primarily come to do. And then we see the family of Jesus. How do they respond at this moment in time? Well, they simply think he's gone bonkers, and they come to take control of him. At the end of chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel, we seem to have just a handful of followers seated around Jesus inside a house, and the majority of people, they're outside. So that is the problem. So many people seem to be on the outside rather than the inside. It seems that Jesus himself now withdraws to focus his ministry on an inner circle of disciples, mainly 12 whom he designates apostles, but others too. But really by this stage we're thinking it seems a bit pathetic. Jesus has come to turn the world upside down. And what's this? Just a small group inside sitting at his feet listening to him? And let's face it, they're not exactly impressive, are they? Bunch of hard-nosed fishermen, tax collectors and the like. So much for the inspiring kingdom of God, we think. So that's the apparent problem. It looks as if this great movement to Jesus is stalling. Only a few are inside, the rest are outside. Some are blatantly rejecting, some are seeking Jesus for the wrong reason, and some are just thinking that Jesus is going a bit too far. Maybe he's losing it. This leads us to ask some questions which I hope resonate with us today. Why does the kingdom of God sometimes look so weak and unimpressive? Why does Christianity seem to be such a small voice at times, drowned out in an ocean of other opinions? Why do many people just not seem to get what authentic Christianity is all about? Why are so many left on the outside and relatively few on the inside, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him? Well, last week we started to see some answers to some of these questions as Miriam took us through that wonderful parable of the four soils. And just to remind you, there seem to be typically four types of reaction to Jesus, characterized by these four soils. One reaction is complete rejection, and that is like the seed that falls on the path. As it falls, the word, which is the seed, is quickly snatched away. Such people are hard towards Christianity. Do you remember Edgar? Edgar hates Christianity. He calls it evil. He remains on the outside and is quite happy about that. It's where he thinks he'd rather be. But in the long run, he will regret it. And then there's others who react enthusiastically, at least at first. The thin soil on rocky places. But you see, these people just want a convenient Jesus who is there when they need him. So remember Hilary, she ran towards Jesus when she needed healing. But once she's got that, she quickly forgets about him. Particularly if the going for Christians gets tough, she quickly distances herself from Jesus, deciding it just costs too much to be on the inside and she'd rather be outside. Third type, some people simply find other interests or ambitions choke out their Christian discipleship. They get distracted by wealth and other things, and so they decide that Jesus really is just asking a bit too much. Remember Kevin? He was like that. Overfamiliarity blinded him to the life of discipleship, and again he ends up on the outside and misses out. But finally, we have those people who are deep, fertile soil, who receive the word with joy, and what's more, they keep going. They persevere in the Christian faith. These are the folk on the inside, and they produce a bumper crop, don't they? Now, last week, Miriam finished by saying it is possible for one to move from being one type of soil to being a different type of soil. Or to change my metaphor, it is possible to move from being outside to being inside, or further into being inside. But how? How can we make sure we get to be on the inside of the kingdom of God and not remain outside? And the opposite, how do we make sure we don't wander outside, maybe inadvertently, and miss out? That's the first thing I want us to think about. But secondly, how do we actually remain positive in a culture that's fast rejecting its Christian heritage? How do we stay positive when the kingdom of God seems to be so weak and insignificant? Well, the first thing for starters comes in Mark chapter 4, the first couple of verses of our Bible reading. And it would help if you had the Bibles open in the pews. On page 1006, we see verses 21 and 22, Jesus saying, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" That's the Christian faith, the gospel. You don't hide it under a bowl, you put it on its stand. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. In other words, the message of Jesus is meant to be made known. And that's our aim here at St. John's, to know Christ for ourselves and to make him known. Jesus is not meant to be hidden away and kept in church behind locked doors only for Sundays. No, we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. The Christian message is meant to be broadcast. But now look at verses 23 to 25. Jesus says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." He then says, "Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." This is the main challenge for each and every one of us today. When we hear the word of Jesus, what do we do with it? Do we really listen to it? Do we try to understand it? Or do we shrug our shoulders and say, "Well, I didn't really get that, but never mind. I'll go home and have my lunch." Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you hear. What do you do with what you hear? Now this actually fits with these strange verses in the middle of that parable of the soil. So if we turn back a few a page and look at verse 9 onwards. You see, Jesus has already used this peculiar phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What does he mean? Well, when he first says that in verse 9, he's just finished teaching the crowd the parable of the four soils, and there's been no explanation. It's just about a farmer throwing seed around. And let's face it, without the explanation that Jesus goes on to do, who would be able to make any sense of that parable? But Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I think that's an invitation to all the people who have just heard this thing, which doesn't make much sense, to come on in and ask Jesus, look, Jesus, we didn't understand that. Can you please explain it for us? And that's exactly what the 12 apostles and the others around the 12 do. Having heard this thing, which didn't make much sense, they come up to Jesus and they say, look, can you tell us what all this soil stuff is about? We don't understand it. Jesus says, yes, I will explain. And he puts it like this in verse 11. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Why? Because you came and asked me. But to those on the outside, everything's said in parables. Do you want to remain on the outside where you don't understand? Or do you want to be on the inside? A lot of it is up to us. Because you see, any person in that vast crowd who heard the parable could have come along with the 12 afterwards to hear the explanation Jesus gives. Anyone can come inside, but you need to want to. You need to ask Jesus, please explain this to me. Which means investing time sitting at his feet. So don't be like the majority of the crowd who are there just because they wanted Jesus to heal them, just a Jesus to be there to feed them, a Jesus who's there at their own convenience. Most of the crowd are on the outside. Only those who bother to actually ponder the words of Jesus and who bother to come up and ask him to explain are on the inside. Now the scary thing is, look at what happens to the people who can't be that bothered to investigate the words of Jesus further. Halfway through verse 11, Jesus says, to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. This links back to our reading today. Verse 24 and 25 again. Consider carefully what you hear. What are you going to do with it? With a measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. You see, if we invest our time coming to Jesus, if we ask the Holy Spirit of Jesus to help us to understand, well, then he will help us to understand. We will be given more. If we put the words of Jesus that we hear and do understand into practice, we will be given even more. It's a wonderful promise. We'll have even more understanding. We'll get even more blessing. But if we can't be bothered, well then, we will become increasingly blind as to what Jesus is all about. And I think that's a strong warning. So last week Miriam said that you can move from being one type of soil to a different type of soil. You can move from being a poor type of soil to being a better type of soil. How is that done? Well, simply by coming to God and saying, help me please. By investing time in prayer. Talk to God. Invest time in Bible reading. A home group. By thinking hard in the sermons. Then you can move from being outside to being inside, sitting at the feet of Jesus and being blessed by him. The warning though in verse 25 is that you can actually move the other way. and become a rockier and shallower type of soil. You can easily wander outside away from the feet of Jesus, to the point of being ever hearing but never understanding. So the challenge is, what will you do with what God has given to you? What will you do with what you hear? Will you come inside and stay inside? He who has ears to hear, let them hear. That's the answer to our first question. How do we make sure we can come inside and stay inside the kingdom of God? Secondly, we're asking, how do we remain positive when the kingdom of God just seems so weak and insignificant? And this brings us to the next two parables. In verses 26 to 29, Jesus says, the kingdom of God, well, it's like a man scattering seed on the ground, and that seed again is the word of God. What happens? Looks pretty insignificant, chucking it out there. But over time, it gradually grows. All the man has done is scattered the seed. But God, when that seed finds fertile soil, makes it grow. From this parable, then, we learn that the kingdom grows through sharing God's word, spending time in God's word. The seed, God's word. But it will also take time. We can't become a strong, mature Christian overnight. No, it takes time to grow the kingdom of God in us personally and in the world. But the promise is that God will grow the seed when it falls on the right kind of soil. But we do need to cooperate. When I read the church press, there are all these articles about how to reverse church decline. And there's lots of ideas in there. Some are good, some are less good. But often one thing is missed, the most important thing. It's the word of God. Carefully preached, carefully shared, carefully studied, carefully reflected upon, that brings real kingdom growth as the Holy Spirit takes that seed that's planted and grows it. No, it won't be overnight. But when the word of God goes out to our community or into our own hearts, if we pray, yes, growth will happen. We can trust God to do it. Now that's why I go on about the importance of opening up Bibles when I preach in the pulpit, is to help us focus in the word. It's why I bleat on about being in a home group. It's where we can discover Jesus more for ourselves and get that understanding and grow as Christians, grow the kingdom of God in us. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. The final parable in this chapter. The kingdom of God is a mustard seed. I love this one because the mustard seed, Jesus says, it's so small and insignificant. And let's face it, just sharing the God's word around looks small. It looks insignificant, doesn't it? If somebody passes by now, has a look in, says, well, there are people in St. John's. Doesn't seem to be that many. You might just look a bit small and insignificant. Or a home group. A few folk gathering together. Looks insignificant. But the kingdom of God starts off like a tiny mustard seed. And what does the mustard seed turn into? The largest plant in the garden, with such big branches that birds perch in its shade. The growth which God produces through our small activities, when they focus on the word of God, well, God will produce something wonderful, something huge. Just remember that bit of scripture has come into my head. What is it? The knowledge of the glory of God will cover... I can't quite get it right now. As the waters cover the sea. Help me out, Pam. You know the one. We'll have to look it up afterwards. God is working his purpose out. Thank you, Jean. Well, I really find this encouraging, isn't it? The world will be turned upside down through our ministry when it's focused in the word. So the church, the home group, coffee break, Lent lunch, They look so small, but God is at work. If we're open to God's word, if we come and ask Jesus to reveal more of his word to us through his Spirit, God will grow his kingdom. He will change the world. He will bring renewal and life. So as I look at the apparent decline of Christianity in this country, I don't despair, because God's in charge. And I do see churches where God's word and the Spirit are taken seriously. And I know that God is growing his kingdom. God is still at work. Wherever people trust him, focus on his word and his Spirit, his kingdom is growing. But just let me close with the reminder that it is our responsibility to receive the word and to use it by coming in and sitting at the feet of Jesus, asking for more, asking for explanation, praying for insight. Consider carefully what you hear. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together. Father, open our hearts, open our ears. Motivate us to move to the inside. Explain your word to us through your Spirit. And give us the discipline of spending time each day in your word. Amen.